From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. In 8 days, Americans will go to the polls to choose a president. And if our informal survey is any indication, voters are taking the contest very seriously.
I think this year is probably the most important presidential election, certainly in my lifetime and probably in the last 15 or 20 years.
I think, frankly, this is the most important election of the last 50 years. I think everyone needs to do their part.
It's a scary situation this year. If you feel like you can't do anything about it, your vote is what you do.
I'm seeing a lot more involvement. People are passionate right now about this election, and we need to be.
For somebody to say, oh, my vote doesn't count anyway, we know from that 2000 election that everyone's vote counts. It's so very, very important for anyone that is qualified or is registered to vote.
That was David Russo and Jennifer Robleski of Rochester, Minnesota, Patrick Miller of Campden, New Hampshire, Mary Helen Beveridge of Portland, Oregon, and Julie Berkeley Hansen of Blaine, Minnesota.
In this half hour of the program, we're going to take a look at the voting process from beginning to end, registration to results, what has changed and what hasn't since the 2000 election. We start with voter registration and NPR's Nina Totenberg.
The reports of voter registration problems involve widespread Democratic allegations of voter suppression and some GOP allegations of voter fraud. They range from Ohio, where the GOP Secretary of State refused at first to accept registration forms printed in the newspaper because they were not on the proper weight of paper, to Nevada and Oregon, where law enforcement officers are now investigating reports that Republican workers were tearing up Democratic registration forms. In Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, West Virginia, Florida, Arizona, and elsewhere, there are verifiable local news accounts of problems with registrations. Many of those problems can be traced to Spruill Associates, a firm hired by the Republican National Committee to register voters. In Las Vegas, for instance, workers like Eric Russell, hired by Spruill, told KLAS-TV that they had seen GOP workers tearing up registration forms signed by Democrats.
She grabbed the Democrats, she handed them to her assistant, and he ripped them up right in front of us and threw them in the garbage.
In Pittsburgh, librarian Holly McCullough initially okayed a request from a group that said it was nonpartisan and wanted to set up a registration site outside the library. But when patrons complained that the registrars were only interested in Republicans, McCullough went on the web and traced the group to Spruill.
I guess I was just being naive. They out and out lied. Obviously, these temp workers were trained to just register Republicans. It's very disappointing. People trust that if you hand in a voter registration, then it's going to get to where it's going to go. And you know, potentially that's not happened at some locations. It's just very disturbing.
Now, while skewing registration might be ugly, it is not illegal in most places. Destroying registration forms or failing to turn them in is illegal. And as Stanford Law Professor Pam Carlin puts it, if your registration has been destroyed,
you are up the creek without a paddle. You can try and cast a provisional ballot, but of course, the likelihood that that ballot will be counted if you're not actually on the voting rolls is zero.
Also illegal is deliberately registering to vote more than once. That appears to be the crime that is most often committed by a few liberal groups, mainly because they pay not by the hour, but by the signature. In these cases, money seems to be more often the motive than politics. KUSA in Denver reported, for example, that this man was registered as many times as possible.
How many times have you registered to vote?
About 35 times.
Over 35 times?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's examples like this that scare Republicans. They worry when they see lines of people at urban polling places in Democratic strongholds as closing time approaches. But Stanford Law Professor Pam Carlin, one of the nation's leading voting rights specialists, says that most voter fraud occurs at the wholesale, not the retail level.
If you think about most vote fraud, it's things like the famous line of Earl Long's, give me an hour with the voting machines and I can make them play home sweet home. That's how vote fraud occurs. It's not usually somebody who just isn't qualified to vote showing up at the polls and insisting on a single ballot.
Republicans are skeptical, too, about tales of voter suppression from the Democrats this year. Ben Ginsburg is former counsel for the Republican National Committee.
The reason the Democrats have cynically concluded that charging voter suppression is their best get-out-the-vote tool for for John Kerry.
Indeed, a Democratic National Committee field manual instructs party workers to be on the lookout for GOP skullduggery and, quote, if no signs of intimidation techniques have emerged yet, launch a preemptive strike, review Republican tactics of the past, and play stories in which minority leadership express concern about the threat of intimidation tactics. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.